Let us all stand. Our topic is the legacy of Cain. It's just one verse from Genesis 4:16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. You may be seated. A few years ago, when I took this job as pastor of our church, someone wrote me from our website with questions about paganism. I didn't have many answers, but perhaps this sermon on the legacy of Cain will be helpful to some of those questions. We don't know much about Cain after this statement from the scripture above. The Bible gives a very brief list of his family in chapter 4 of Genesis, but it does not give any further details, such as the ages or the years that had passed on any of them, such as we see with the genealogy of Adam in chapter 5. What can we surmise from this? Could it be that God is not concerned about those who are not of his family, but is rather much more concerned about his own family? Note how God remembers the births and deaths of his family in the genealogy list in Genesis 5, just the beginning verses I've provided. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. End quote from Genesis 5, 3 through 5. The whole chapter of the genealogical listing of Adam follows this pattern throughout, showing births, deaths, and years passing. But God makes no references like this to those not of his family. The brief genealogy of Cain in chapter 4 mentions his family, but does not give the deaths or the births and years that have passed between them, as happens with Seth's family in chapter 5. The likeness after his image is stressed here to indicate, I believe, not like Cain, that is, the opposite of Cain's line. Now, aren't these differences just a little unusual? It's almost as if God does not care about Cain's family. The style in the Cain account is totally different from that of Seth's family. It seems to lack information. It's almost as if God is nonchalantly saying, yes, Cain did this, Cain did that, he went here, there, whatever, who cares? It's not my family, end quote. Does God favor one family over another? Yes, it is natural for us to care more for our own family than for someone else's family. Quote, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14:13. All the Bible encyclopedias say that Cain was the firstborn son of Adam and Eve. That may be true on a legal basis, but not necessarily true on a paternal or genetic basis. Details on the life of Cain are scarce. Perhaps the writer, Moses, of Genesis was limited in some way and so left out certain details. This, of course, leaving us with questions unanswered. Or perhaps the writer didn't fill in the details because of Cain's identity, but gave us the bare necessities. Our text says, out from the presence of the Lord. That could be very dangerous ground for anyone. Away from God's presence. What a terrible thought. As God's people, we always want to be near our Lord. We could not exist without his presence, at least not for very long. Our pure hearts long to be within his favor and blessings always. So if we feel distant from God, guess who moved? We did. The verse said, quote, Cain went out, end quote. Of course, his case was different from us because he was bad seed from the beginning. Verse 11 says, Cain was cursed from the earth. Beginning at verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, quote, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Genesis 4, 13 to 14. Cain's destiny was already set and sealed because of who he was. Born not from above, but born from below. What a sad state of affairs to be in. Nothing in the world could be so terrible. Separated from the presence of God forever. What a definition of hell. Here he was alone with all those family memories, some good and some bad. What did he do besides survive and make a living for his family in a primitive world? History tells us he created a new religion that became widespread among all the nations. Today we call that religion paganism. So let us take a glimpse into the legacy of Cain from historic sources, since the Bible tells us little about his life after leaving Eden. This is an article, at least most of it, I edited it down a little bit, by Roger Hathaway, author and researcher. Paganism is a religion more than 7,000 years old. It is the mother goddess religion practiced in all civilized nations from the time of Adam and Eve until today. It is the worship of Satan by his own race of children, the Cain, Edom descendants who are drawn to it, just as European white race Israelites are drawn to their own shepherd, Jesus. After Cain left the family of Adam and Eve, he created the religion of paganism for the worship of his divine parents. The centerpiece of the rituals is lamentation or weeping in commemoration of Eve's sorrow at the death of her son, Abel. Eve, called Ea, is the mother goddess. Temples were built to her. Statues have been found of her holding her baby in ancient Babylon. The very same religion is practiced today as Roman Catholicism, with the same characters and festivals as those of ancient times, except they call their mother goddess Mary. One of the reasons that God permitted Judea and Jerusalem to be conquered, along with destruction of its temple, was because the pagan religion was being practiced in the temple. Ezekiel had been taken captive to Babylon in 598 BC, where he was shown a vision from God in 593 BC about iniquities inside the Jerusalem temple. Ezekiel 8, 13 and 14, quote, then he said to me, you shall see still greater transgressions which they are committing. Then he led me to the vestibule of the gate of the house of the Lord facing the north. And behold, here were women sitting there weeping for Tammuz, end quote. Genesis 5:3 says that Adam, quote, lived 230 years and begot a son after his own form and after his own image, and he called his name Seth, end quote. Cain is not listed in the Bible in Adam's genealogy. The list of descendants from Adam in chapter 5 has no mention of Cain as a son of Adam. In John 8:44, Jesus tells the Edomite Jews in Jerusalem that they are out of their father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning and a liar. It is commonly accepted that this statement refers to Cain, but the church skips over the identity of the temple Jews who were Edomites, the race of Cain. Cain established a religion in honor of his mother Ea and father Enlil. This religion can be traced through several definite periods of history, of which I will call waves. The first wave, he says, is from 5508 to 4500 BC. He goes on, Adam was born in 5508 BC, according to the Greek Septuagint, the only written Bible until about 1000 AD, when the so-called Hebrew Masoretic version appeared. I use Septuagint chronology and name spellings. He goes on and says, Adam appeared as a Christ. He had a divine mind in God's image, a virtual God. His wife Eve, also named in the Greek Zoe, which means life, or Zoe, was his own feminine nature, removed from himself to be an individual person. The fall of the perfect couple was because God's law against sex was transgressed. Immortals cannot procreate without becoming mortal. Eve had sex with a tempter, Satan, partaking of that forbidden fruit of forbidden sex. Then Adam followed suit and had sex with her too. Their offspring were the fraternal twins of that age of Gemini. Cain, whose father was Satan, and Abel, whose father was Adam. Abel was killed by Cain. We all know the story. Cain removed from their presence, eventually going westward toward Mesopotamia, where evidence has been found of worship of Enlil, and that's the devil. As far back as 4500 BC, Adam and Eve went eastward from the Pamir Plateau, that's in Eden, to the Turim Pendi Basin, where they lived for many years. Cain and his people lived in the region now called Iraq, where they instituted the religion of paganism. He lived for 730 years and founded the highly advanced civilization of ancient Mesopotamia. Cain was the firstborn of Satan, so he inherited a divine nature, giving him very high mental and physical powers. He went forth to represent his father Satan and developed his kingdom of world, of which Satan is the rightful sovereign. It is critically important that you get this in perspective. Cain, as a worker of Satan, promotes a material world, a limited and finite reality of things which appear solid and real, because world is only a reflection of the true spiritual reality. It is nothing but a chimera, a fantasy of mind, a fraud and a lie, but it provides a stage on which the contest between good and evil is waged between these two races. In order to rule his world as Satan wants, the opponent race of Christ types must be destroyed. It is the unrelenting quest of Satan to kill the Adamite white race. That is the contest being waged during the negative half of circa 12,000 years of one full cycle of the precession of equinoxes. The negative energy of Satan is lying and murder. Cain as a person is intelligent beyond our comprehension, born of divine parents and knowing the truth about God and Christ and the struggle between good and evil. He hardly needed to mark to protect him from neighboring races, for he had no peers among those primitives who had occupied the lands for countless thousands of years. The sixth generation of Cain's grandchildren brought Jobel, Jubal, and Thobel, three children who excelled at worldly occupations. It would be Cain's descendants throughout history who were the great inventors, scientists, and mathematicians, as it still is today. The most pure strain of Cain today is the Edomite race, known to us as Jews. Cainites have superior worldly minds. They know how to work with earth materials and finite numbers and physical laws. They have a right to feel superior regarding worldly minds of scheming, exploiting, strategy, and deceit. This world belongs to them because they are children of Satan, who is Lord of world. Cain left Adam's family because he had a great mission for his own father to develop the kingdom of world. We Christian sheep despise Satan's pogrom against us because we are the ones he wishes to destroy. We tend to forget that we are foreigners in this kingdom of world. We were introduced into it as opponents of its rightful lords, the Cain race, which I added, granted to Cain by Adam's sin. Our Lord Jesus never railed against Satan. Rather, he admitted Satan was, temporarily, Lord of this world. Cain established a religion which worshipped his father Satan under the name Enlil. Other members of his pantheon were Ea, who was Eve, Cain's mother. Ea is the mother goddess who weeps at the death of her beloved son, Tammuz, which is Abel. Cain created a religion of lamentation where women wept for Ea's grief. The dead son was called Tammuz by Cain, a word meaning pig as an insult to Abel. There's a note here. Modern Jews have a month named Tammuz. On the 17th of Tammuz, they fast. It is a day of lamentation in memory of ancient griefs. End quote from that note. Adam was known as Anu, recognized as the first god, but one who was not approachable to be worshipped. Enlil was Satan, the true father of Marduk, and that's Cain. Note, there is a star called Marduk in the zodiac. The father of Enlil was Bel, B-E-L, which is a.k.a. Baal. Temples were built to Enlil, or Satan, Ea, Eve, Marduk, which was Cain, and Bel. But of course, not to Anu, Adam, or Tammuz, Abel. Enlil, Satan, was the god of earth, while Anu, Adam, was the god of heaven. You see, this is absolutely right. Satan is the lord of this kingdom of world, while Christ, the Adam, is the lord of the kingdom of God. Cain knew the truth, and he very appropriately instituted a religion for his descendants to worship their own ancestor and lord, Satan. Enlil was just as real to them as Christ is to us, and appropriately so. Cain's race is still among us and still worshiping their own Lord. The next section is Wave 2. It's about 4000 BC. The Cain religion was renewed under Sargon the Magnificent of Akkad, who ruled the land of Akkad and Sumer about 3800 BC. Marduk, or Cain, became the sun god, whose followers were called children of the sun. Have you ever heard that somewhere before? I have. Marduk, that's Cain, was the firstborn of Ea, the brother and brother of Tammuz, which is Abel. Anu was Adam, the Christ, but too fearful to worship. That attitude makes us wonder how Adam must have reacted to Cain's murder of Abel. Notice that Anu, or Adam, is venerated as the first god. Satan never denied Christ's position and power, nor did Christ ever deny the same of Satan. Ea was worshipped in order to gain Anu's favor. Tammuz, or Abel, was the son whose death was lamented. Enlil was somewhat equivalent to Bel, the primary god to whom temples were built. The Euphrates Valley flourished as dikes were built to constrain the rivers, and temples were built. Great cities were built on such a grand scale that we today would gasp at their grandeur. In Bel's temples, there were some human sacrifices along with some cannibalism, just as continue to be practiced in some secret societies yet today. Adam's people stayed in the Tarim Pendi Basin of western China until the great flood of that basin about 3,300 BC. Afterward, Noah and his family migrated to the Punjab of northwestern India, probably becoming the Indus Valley civilization and the Harappa civilization, where their Christ-type religion is somewhat preserved in the Sanskrit writings of the Upanishads and Vedas. The Bhagavad-gita, I can hardly say some of these words, part of the Mahabharata, is one of the greatest spiritual works in existence, While the Hindu religion interprets it according to its own agenda, we can appreciate that someone, at least, still appreciates it and that they've preserved it while we have forgotten it. It is the story of a struggle between good and evil, between two families who are unrelated, like Adamites and Cainites. Krishna is Christ. Arjuna represents us Adamites. The Kurus are Cainites. Brahman is God the Father, and Kurukshetra is the material world where the contest takes place. 2,800 to 2,400. At some time during these four centuries, our patriarch, Heber, led his people from the Punjab to Samaria, the same place where the Cain line had long before settled and developed an ostentatious society. I speculate that it must have been Eber who led them, for his people are thereafter called Hebrews. We have no other indication in the Bible how the people came by that name. Then in wave 3, circa 2350 BC, at this time in Samaria, it is another Sargon who rules. All evidence points to Nimrod of the Bible, who takes the title Sargon. Sar meant king, and the last syllable can be spelled Khan or Khan, K-H-A-N, which were spellings of Cain. The title was King Cain. Sargon, Nimrod, renewed the pagan gods in such a way that after Nimrod's death, it was his own name and that of his wife Semiramis that the people worshipped. Semiramis was the great goddess mother. Nimrod became both the son, Ninus, and the husband, Tammuz. Bel was known as the father of Ninus. Since Nimrod was a son of Cush, that's a son of Ham, did that make Cush as Bel? The great city which Nimrod built was Nineveh, which means habitation of Ninus. Statues of the Pieta have been unearthed, showing the goddess mother holding the sun. When one studies the history of paganism, the names and characters become quite confusing. There are many more characters who appear on stage at different times, but the goddess mother religion is constant. By this time in Sumeria or Chaldea, the priests were deeply involved in developing their Chaldean mystery schools. It appears that pagan priests had always promoted mystery and confusion with their religion, for such techniques make them elite and attracted followers to them in order to learn their magic. Magic was their real game, and it was from those Chaldean mystery schools that the Kabbalah developed, then carried back to Jerusalem as the heart of the new religion of Babylonian Talmudic Phariseeism, which is still the proper name for the religion known as Judaism today. Circa 2000 BC, Abram was told by God to leave the grand and fabulous city of Ur in Chaldea. Babylon was the epitome of grandeur, a wondrous accomplishment for the race of Cain. Babylon is a symbol in the Bible for all the materialist wonders of this kingdom of world. God advises Abram to separate himself from that grandeur, to go to a land of a very different type. Another paradigm of God's children leaving the world to go to the promised land. We might accuse Heber of making a terrible mistake by leading his people into such a pit of hell. Yet it is in this kingdom of world that God tests and purifies his children, culling out those who love the world, and selecting only a few off the top who remain true to him. Cain's world serves God's purpose and improves the genetic strain of God's children by culling the weak from it. We are destined to great responsibility in the kingdom of heaven. So much discipline and training is necessary to prepare us for the task. Satan's world provides that test. At the time of Ezekiel in the 500s BC, He was shown a vision recorded in Ezekiel 8:13-14, described as follows by him, quote, "And he said to me, 'You shall see yet greater iniquities which these do.' And he brought me into the porch of the house of the Lord that looks to the north, and behold, there were women sitting there lamenting for Tammuz," end quote. Paganism was being practiced in the Jerusalem temple at the time of Ezekiel. God was very angry. As John says in his revelation, it is only to the one who overcomes that God gives the reward. For each of us, the path to God is an individual journey and never something that can be learned from any teacher. By this time in history, we find the pagan religion dominated all the civilized nations. All had adopted from Babylon the mother goddess religion and had given their own names to the characters. In Egypt, she was Isis. In Greece, Artemis. In the Roman Empire, Diana. Once one understands the mother goddess theme, one finds the mythos is the same in all the nations. Wave 4, the Christian era. Jesus promoted such a radically different spirituality that it was rejected by the pagans of all countries. Only God's true children of Israel responded to the call and left the temples of organized religion to follow him who had no place to lay his head. He suggested no rituals, no required sacrifices, and no control over the people. The temple curtain was torn down, and the Father was made accessible to all Israelites. The first 3 centuries of the Christian movement were not organized. Individuals struggled to understand what message Jesus was giving, but it wasn't very clear. Some struggled with questions of circumcision and law, but there wasn't much clear advice. It was up to each person to seek God for himself with the powerful help of the Holy Spirit which Jesus sent. And struggle they did, intensely and fervently, many dying as martyrs or witnesses for their faith, which they didn't really understand. Now that was spiritual struggle, just what God wants to work in his children. Finally, Constantine and some bishops called a great council at Nicaea, near Constantinople in the year 325. Several hundred Christian leaders organized and defined their faith in words of a creed. Emperor Constantine made Christianity the state-approved religion. The Pieta statues of the mother goddess holding her baby or her dead son were renamed as Mary and Jesus, and the Roman Catholic religion was born. An early pope, Gregory the Great, reformed all public services and rituals in order to adopt the pagan festivals into Christianity. Christmas and Easter, that's Ishtar, and many other festival dates were established. Priests were suddenly required to be unmarried and chaste, at least from adult women. Satan's perverted morality has never been absent in that Roman Antichrist religion. An individual's quiet, meditative struggle for spiritual growth was over. Religion became an active practice, ruled by priests and popes. The mother goddess religion dominated Europe, and Charlemagne conquered the entire land of Europe for the pope. Just as Cain lived through the Sargons, he now lived through the papal office, conquering, plundering, and murdering again, as is his nature. Jesus tried to warn us in John 8:44 about the nature of Satan's children, that they are not from God, and they are liars and murderers. But Christ's sheep did not listen and were not able to withstand the tyranny of Satan's rulership in the kingdom of world. It's easy to look from a distance and wonder how so many Christians could be so blind and weak like sheep, and how anyone could adopt such a religion as paganism. But beware, you and I are not guiltless. In the first place, the race of Cain is worshiping their own Lord of the kingdom of world. It is Satan who rewards his own with worldly blessings, prosperity, and various gratifications, We have all sought such things and lusted after them and prayed for them, contrary to Jesus' command, to not worry about such things, but to reject them. When we turn our hopes and desires toward earthly gains, it is not God who grants them, but the Lord of this world whose power it is to grant them. He is the Lord of the prosperity religion so popular today. It certainly is not Christ who showed us the way to reject the world and walk the path to Golgotha. My conclusion. This history is substantial proof of the origin of Cain. He knew who he was and disclosed his identity by forming a religion based on his father and mother, Satan and Eve. This religion is the foundation of all pagan religions and superstitions in the world. Why would he develop such a religion if Satan were not his father? I wonder how the Judeo-Christian world, who believes that Cain's father was Adam, explains this testimony of Cain. In paganism, Marduk reveals his father as Satan and his mother as Ea. Marduk later became known as Amun-Ra. Under the direction of King Cain, temples were built to Enlil, Satan, Ea, Eve, Marduk, that's himself, and Bel, the father of Satan, but of course not to Anu, Adam, or Tammuz, Abel. If Adam fathered Cain, why didn't he build a temple for him? That's Anu. And why didn't he build a temple for his brother Abel? That's Tammuz. Because Adam didn't father Cain, that's why. Neither Adam nor Abel were his genetic family, except in a legal or adoptive sense only. Enlil, that's Satan, was the god of earth, while Anu, Adam, was the god of heaven. And this is true in this present age, for Satan is lord of the kingdom of world, while Christ, the second Adam, is lord of the kingdom of heaven. In the fall, Adam granted authority to Satan and sold us out. Cain knew his identity and suitably instituted a religion for his descendants to worship their ancestors and lord Satan. Ancestor worship is the root of paganism and other non-Christian religions. It is not wrong for our racial kin to honor the great heroes of the past, but it is wrong to worship them. The Bible teaches us that history is important. Quote, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar, end quote, Matthew 23:35. Wake up, all ye seed of the woman, for Christ shall give you light. Follow not the way of Cain.